Hey friends, I'm Scott Hanselman and it is .NET Conf. We are the virtual .NET conference happening all week long. It's so exciting. It's now Thursday. It's Community Day on .NET Conf. We're going to have folks from all over the community Skyping in, have a couple folks here in person talking about some great stuff. But what I wanted to do on this first opening of day three is to talk about the state of the union, right? What is the state of the .NET community? So I've had some folks work with me to put together some exciting slides that include both charts and graphs to give you a sense of how we think that we're doing, as well as maybe a little bit of introspection, because it's 2016 and we've come a long way with .NET over the last 15 years, and the last couple of years have been kind of crazy. Heck, the last couple of weeks have been kind of crazy. So let's take a look at the state of open source and the state of .NET. Well, if you look at the timeline, you remember that we've actually done this before, right? We open sourced .NET three or four times before this, but finally this is the time where it takes. This is the time where it's really happening and we're building this wonderful community that includes community contributions. Because the whole reason that myself and other people came to Microsoft was to open source stuff and to really get that open source culture embedded at Microsoft. And I think we're doing that. But it's important to remember that there is historical context for some of the cool open source work that's happening at Microsoft. But, you know, there wasn't organizational maturity and legal frameworks and stuff to work within it. In 2001, we actually did a thing that was called shared source. It was Rotor. We released .NET when .NET very first came out. A lot of people don't realize this. Except it was a no takebacks technique. It was not open source as much as it was source opened. It was a look but don't touch. But it allowed people who were doing academia to take a look at the .NET reference source and learn from it. And then, of course, Mono came along because shared source wasn't open enough, right? It wasn't a license that was great for people. So they did a clean room implementation of the .NET APIs. And that was what, you know, what became Mono. And that was very exciting. And then around 2008, we tried again. And if you can go and see actually now, if you go to sourceof.net, so source of and then the top level domain .NET, you can see the .NET reference source as well as a reference source browser. This was done as Microsoft, was it MSPL or MSRPL or something like that. But then things started to get really, really interesting as we move into 2012. And I feel like that's when the hockey stick of open source in the .NET space really happened. We saw ASP.NET open source. We saw TypeScript. And then, of course, in 2014, the .NET Foundation, Roslyn, .NET Core gets open sourced. And then today, we've got .NET Core running everywhere, right? We've got .NET Core running in places we weren't expecting it to be able to run on, and then Xamarin and the Xamarin runtimes being open sourced. And of course, you heard from Scott Hunter, my boss, one of the lesser Scots, that .NET Core is going to RTM on June 27th. So that's kind of the timeline of what's going on in the .NET space. But let's think about .NET today. As Scott Hunter went over, the goal here is not a lowest common denominator, but a greatest common denominator, a target as the .NET standard library that we can go and target that's going to give us the ability to write .NET code, C# code, F# code, VB code that makes us happy, that runs in as many places as possible on top of an entirely open source common infrastructure. And hoping to see this innovation happening at the base of the pyramid there and less fragmentation at the top. So that's the idea. And then, of course, being able to use the tools that make us happy, like Xamarin Studio, like Visual Studio, and like Visual Studio Code, and then innovate, and everybody, all boats get lifted up when you innovate at that bottom part of the pyramid. Now, one of the things that is making me happy, particularly as a person who's been in the community for many, many years, is that I've always felt that blogs are the engine of the community. And I thought that there was a time in the last couple of years, and in 2012, when I wrote this blog post that I've got up here, where I felt that the bloggers in the .NET space and the .NET open source space had kind of gone away. I didn't feel like there was a lot of blogging going on. This was when Twitter was really, let's just say that the hype machine around Twitter and social media was there. Everybody was blogging everywhere except their own domains. So I blogged about how, you know, I feel that your blog is the engine of community. And in the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen some really amazing stuff going on around .NET and open source. And more importantly, people are blogging about it. We saw ASP.NET Core and Ben Adams and the folks at Age of Ascent and Illyriad Games, working on Kestrel and getting some amazing performance stuff and then blogging about it and people blogging about them blogging about it. We saw new people blogging. We saw people talking about things that they created. Here we've got a great blog from Mohammed Rehan Saeed talking about MVC Boilerplate and a project there. The ASP.NET monsters, James Chambers, David Paquette, Simon Tibbs, blogging about new tag helpers and tag helpers and creations that they're making. And we talk about these blog posts when we do the ASP.NET community stand-up. So if you're blogging, then we'll talk about what you're doing. Hisham is talking about learning ASP.NET Core and writing about it. This is such a wonderful idea, and this is how I got started blogging, was talking about my learning process. Sometimes people don't start a blog because they feel, what do I have to say? But maybe you're learning something and you have the courage to come out and say, I don't know everything about this. I'm not an expert about .NET Core. It's a brand new thing, but I'm going to blog about how I'm learning it. So I think that's really great. So blogging about localization, blogging about the techniques that matter to you around ASP.NET code. Armin Shamoon is talking about all kinds of great things, but makes custom graphics and custom badges for each blog post. I really appreciate the care and the effort that gets put into that at .NETLiberty.com. And Julie Lerman continuing to carry the torch for Entity Framework and now Entity Framework Core. You can see her stuff at the Data Farm. These are people who've been blogging for years. These are people who are new bloggers, and I would encourage you as well to start talking about both the good and the bad. We've seen positive blogs, and we've seen negative blogs, and we read them all. Hopefully you do as well, and you get kind of a balanced view about what you think is going on in the .NET community as we all try to move this thing forward, because we're all trying to grow .NET and .NET open source. We're trying to play on a level playing field. So let's talk a little bit about how we're doing in this space here. Now, in 2015, here is a map that I had Jeff Fritz put together from GitHub data. We just got started, and it showed, some enthusiasm, some pull requests, some issues, some people that were interested in .NET Core, but it doesn't exactly look like it's taken over the world. You could probably go to some of those dots and find the individual human being that made that dot on that space. But if we fast forward just a year, 14 months to 2016, we see that we're starting to get people doing contributions to .NET open source all over the world. I'd like to see more folks in Africa. I'd like to see more folks on the west coast of South America. I'd like to see more people get involved in open source. But just in a couple of months there, you can see from 2015 to 2016, enthusiasm around .NET, around .NET open source, and probably enthusiasm around it running everywhere, about it running on Linux, about it running in Docker. We've got people looking at how it's going to run in Kubernetes, how it runs in Azure, how it runs in other clouds, has got people innovating in .NET in a way that I think is really exciting. And I would encourage you to make your green dot on that map right there. Now, those worldwide contributions are coming in. So what I had Jeff do is create a kind of a data lake in a thing called Power BI, a business intelligence engine that you can check out at powerbi.com. And he put some work into this, and he basically built this database by using OctaKit and GitHub statistics and all this publicly available data. And we're actually going to hear from some folks from GitHub later this day. And we'll also learn how OctaKit works. So you'll hear how this kind of stuff was built and how we talk to the OctaKit or the GitHub API. And then he built these data lakes, fed it into Power BI, and did some queries for me. So we've got here, like, for example, the top 10 pull requests. And now this is a little bit hard to see because it's streaming over the internets and it's a screenshot. But I'm going to switch over into Power BI directly here as well and just show you that we can go and see, here we go, over time, GitHub issues created by Microsoft as it relates to those that were created by the community. You can see already a tick up as we move into April. The ratio of issues created by the community versus ones that were created by Microsoft. And then we can see where those are distributed. You can see the ones that are on ASP.NET. We included Mono there because we acquired Xamarin. Mono is part of the .NET family right now. Xamarin and Mono, you can see just about 30% of the issues that are created by the community distributed by volume there. It's pretty balanced. Now if I go over here, I'm going to add a zoom it tool so we can zoom in on these as well. I pulled out Xamarin directly to see the top Xamarin repositories. A lot of enthusiasm on pull requests for Xamarin Forms. They've got a really vibrant community going on right now around Xamarin Forms and Xamarin Auth. So pull requests coming into those repositories a lot. I think that's got James Montemagno and a lot of the folks that are working on that are doing a great job. So you can see that the top repository by far is Xamarin Forms. And then actually one of my favorites, which is called Monkey Robotics. Now on the .NET side, on the .NET side here, there we go. You see, we've got CoreFX and CoreCLR as being some of the top stuff. Oh, pardon me, I didn't follow my own tips for presentations, which is to put my Windows machine into quiet mode and post, get rid of all that toast. Pretty soon my phone will ring and that'll be another faux pas on my part. So these are the top 10 .NET repositories by percentage of community PR. So look at CoreFX. Lots and lots of pull requests coming in from the community. In fact, what's interesting there is that there are more pull requests coming from the community on CoreFX than there are coming from Microsoft. And I think having a healthy ratio of contributions coming from the community versus contributions that are coming from Microsoft are, I think, are a very good metric for whether or not there is a healthy community going around something. So CoreFX, CoreCLR, also the Roslyn compiler. Even Roslyn, something as complicated as a next-generation compiler, has got 20% of its pull requests coming from the community. And then you may not have heard about this, but the Actor model, Orleans, has a very, very vibrant community, and we'll hear a little bit more about that in a bit. But CoreFX and CoreCLR are right up there. And then Orleans, kind of this dark horse that we've not heard a lot about, taking up a lot of space. Now on the ASP.NET side, docs, this makes me really happy. One of the things that people say when they want to get involved in open source is, I don't know what I can do. I don't know how I'm going to get involved. What am I going to talk about? Well, as Miguel de Acasa so wisely said, when I ask myself and I wake up in the morning, how can I make an impact today? Well, I will write some documentation. So if you want to make a great impact today, yeah, you can write some code, you could do a pull request, you could fix a test, but if you wrote some docs, you will change a child's life, and certainly mine, because we could use the help. We've got a lot of great stuff going on around docs, Entity Framework, and then the work that was done largely by Illyriad Games and the folks at Age of Ascent and Ben Adams on Kestrel HTTP server. We can see that community pull requests coming in on those top three repositories. So a lot of really good stuff there. So what he has done for me, what Jeff Fritz has done for me here, is he's created these Power BI dashboards. He's got multiple dashboards, and what he's going to do is we're going to look at ways we can get these out to you, because this is all public data, right? This is coming from GitHub and being pulled in to this data lake. So we want you to be able to explore these as well. So in the coming weeks and months, we will figure out ways for you to do these, to write your own queries, play with this data, and then possibly embed it into your blogs and talk about it. I also wanted to call out, they said issues created, but some top contributors. When you have this kind of data and you start doing these Power BIs, we can go and do some charts. So we went in here and counted who is talking the most, where are our comment counts, and then who is doing pull requests, who is doing issues, and we did a kind of a weighting. We call it the awesomeness rating. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we see some interesting things here. We've talked about Ben Adams and the great work that he's been doing on Kestrel. He's up there as one of the most prolific people who is contributing to .NET. But also we see Gabriel Cliott is doing some great work on Orleans and on .NET. So, and also look at that, Stefan Forkman, Luke Latham, Steve Smith, doing some amazing work on docs. So this is kind of the top here. Now this is a living document, so this changes, right? These are not set in stone. As you make contributions, you will bust into the top 10 as well. We also see some interesting contributions by company. We see Samsung is doing some exciting work in here. And we can actually dig into those and see how many people are working on those different projects as well. The reason that that bar is a little bit darker is indicating that there's more people. So there's actually more than one person working on that, which is pretty exciting. And then some really exciting stuff going on around comments. We have a very vibrant community, people discussing Mono, people discussing ASP.NET, and people discussing the .NET framework, all of these within the Microsoft organization. If I switch back over here, which one do I want to look at here? Where is it? Here we go. This was a really interesting thing. This was just an arbitrary index that we created. It was just called it awesomeness. And what we did is we said, if we just assigned arbitrary point values, okay? So a comment, we just said that was a point. We're not keeping track of these points. We just needed to generate a chart. And then a pull request, which involves a great deal of work, we'll say that that's 10 points. And then we came up with this idea that we've got 17,000 users contributing across over 1,000 organizations, all very, very awesome. And came up with this idea of who are the community leaders within this space, and that's how that chart got created back there. So pretty exciting stuff. Again, an arbitrary index, but an exciting one. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about before we get started today is how people are going to learn to code, because we spend a lot of time talking about .NET with people who already know .NET, but how do we get people excited about it from scratch, right? How do we get those file new project people to stick around and join our community? And you know, there's some good news and some bad news here. What are people learning at boot camps? Well, they learn the mean stack, and they learn Android, and they learn Git, and they learn iOS, but you don't see a lot of .NET. You go to somewhere like, you know, Coding Dojo, which is one of the many online coursewares and boot camps that you can go to, and they say, we teach five stacks. We teach five stacks, but where's .NET, right? Well, we're gonna aim to fix that, because we feel that someone should sit down with any PC, any machine, a Mac, Ubuntu, Windows, sit down and have a really great productive experience and mix and match their stacks. It might be .NET talking to Mongo. It might be Angular working with .NET on Linux, talking to Redis, who knows? We wanna be able to have those folks teaching and learning .NET. We have seen some pretty exciting stuff in the last couple of months with places like Epicodus. This is a vocational school for programmers. And it turns out that they're actually not just teaching .NET, not just teaching .NET Core, but when they teach their folks C Sharp, they teach them Nancy, right? Nancy is a web stack, a kind of an alternative to ASP.NET. And it has such a nice hello world and such a nice friendly way to get started. Nancy is a great way to move from hello world at the console and go into Hello World in your browser. So you can actually go to see their website at learnhowtoprogram.com, one of the coolest URLs out there from my perspective. So they're teaching Nancy. They're teaching open source. They're teaching it cross-platform. They're teaching .NET Core. And they're all doing that today. So I think we can help build boot camps and encourage online curriculums to talk about .NET and to support .NET. And I think it is that flexibility of .NET, the ability to run it anywhere, and the things that you've seen before, the idea that it's your choice, your editors, your tools. If you don't like it, fork it. If you don't like it, swap it out for something else. The ability to run cross-platform, the ability to run C#, F#, VB. It's fast, it's modular, and it's fun. That is the goal for both today and the future of .NET. And hopefully, we will get more contributors, we will get more users, and ultimately the goal, and why I came to work here and why I continue to work here, is to create more choices for people. And really important to remember, as we've said before and we're going to say all day long, it is all on GitHub. So that's github.com/ASP.NET, that's github.com/.NET, github/F#, and then of course open.xamarin.com. And then you may have heard that we created the .NET, D-O-T, .NET website for acquisition, and we're going to continue to expand that as we consolidate documentation. We want to make it really, really easy to get .NET. When you go up there, you can get Xamarin, you can get the full framework, but if you click on download .NET Core, you can get it for Docker, you can get it for Red Hat soon, you can get it for Ubuntu, for CentOS, for all the supported platforms, Windows, Linux, Mac. And then, of course, I want to give a shout out to our friends at OmniSharp and Visual Studio Code and all the folks that are working so great to make IntelliSense and refactoring and smart code editing and IDE experiences in frameworks that aren't necessarily Visual Studio, another example of open source collaboration. So hopefully people will get involved. And you know, and if you have a project, if you have an open source project that maybe needs has outgrown being just a one-person project, maybe you want to join the .NET Foundation. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Projects that get big enough to need code signing certificates and domains and governance and legal assistance and licensing assistance can join us. And we've got a couple of new folks that are joining the .NET Foundation. The Xamarin SDK is in the foundation now. Mono is in the foundation. And an exciting announcement is that Cake is now joining the .NET Foundation today. So this is a C-sharp based cross-platform build automation framework. Okay. And you know, you can call out to MS Build, do test runners, you can call Wix, Octopus Deploy, but it's a DSL, a domain-specific language that uses C-sharp, and it lets you do things like compile code and copy folders. So if you've used things like NAT, or you've used things like, you know, MS Build, but you don't really like it, you feel that C-sharp is the language of your soul, you know, check out cakebuild.net. They've joined the .NET Foundation, and this is a new step in the maturity and the development of this exciting open source project, and maybe yours will be the next one to join the .NET Foundation. So get involved and check it out. And we're going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break here, and we're going to come back with this wonderful day of community contributors talking to you here on .NET Conf. Please retweet, tell your friends. We'll see you soon.